Guided by his example, we walk the righteous path. In the footsteps of the prophet with faith and steadfast. In the footsteps of the prophet with faith and steadfast.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله والصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. My dear viewers of Madinah channel, welcome back to another episode of our series In the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wasallam. Remember, there are many blessings and virtues in sending salawat upon the greatest of all mankind, the peace of our hearts and our minds, the most generous and kind, the last and final Prophet and Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wasallam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wasallam has stated, من صلى علي صلاة واحدة صلى الله عليه عشرة. That he who recites salat upon the noble messenger صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم once, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall bestow 10 blessings upon that person. Subhanallah. You should make it a regular habit of yours to recite salawat upon the messenger of Allah صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم in abundance inshallah عز وجل. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi azza wa jal, within this series of ours, we learn about the life, the biography, the seerah of the beloved and the greatest of all mankind, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. One, yes, just to learn more about the greatest of all mankind, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just to know more about him. But of course, also, to increase our love for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, to take lessons from his blessed life wherever possible, inshallah wa azul, for no doubt the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is the greatest of all role models, the greatest of all examples. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was perfect in every way, and this is how we come to understand this by reading and learning about his blessed life, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. May Allah ta'ala grant me, as well as yourselves and all of us, inshallah, an understanding of the seerah, of the life, of the biography of the greatest of all mankind, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Now, previously, mashallah, we heard about a few things. And one of those is we heard about the first hadith of Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara, known as Hadith Al-Salam, narrated by Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Salam, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who used to be the chief rabbi of Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. Yes, and he enters the folds of Islam upon seeing the beautiful face of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he exclaimed that, "Araftu," I immediately came to know that this face cannot be the face of a liar. He said, I immediately understood and acknowledged that this face cannot be the face of a liar, the blessed and the noble face of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. Now today, inshallah, one other, in fact, something very, very of huge importance is that, well, first we must understand that initially and throughout, this is, remember, most of the life of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the apparent life has passed, hasn't it? So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was 53 years of age when he migrated from Makkah al-Mukarramah to al-Madinah al-Munawwara. He was what? Approximately 53 years of age, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam, which means most of his life has passed. Even from when he was given the first revelation, 13 years passed approximately in Makkah al-Mukarramah. And throughout this time, an important note is that throughout this time, most of the time, the Muslims' actions were very similar to those of previous ummahs. Well, because the Muslims in Makkah al-Mukarramah, remember, there were barely other religions. There was idol worship, and then there was Islam brought by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Yes, there were some people, like we heard Waraqa bin Nawfal, very, very rare. Yes, very, very rare There were some people who believed, well, this was in the early days especially, but then these people also had passed away. Some of them never met the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The point being is, there were many similarities, of course, because we believe in previous religions too. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would pray his salah, he would perform his salah towards Al-Quds al-Sharif, as did many prophets before him. That was the Qibla. Initially, that is what the Qibla was. So it was in the same direction as a previous Ummah. So there were many actions which were very, very similar. Even fasting was also very similar. You know, there were various things. But what we learn is when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Al-Madinah al-Munawwara, even at the beginning stages of Al-Madinah al-Munawwara, for example, I have a beautiful hadith sharif before me, and this is from Sahih Muslim sharif. It states, as mentioned by Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who states, قَالَ قَدِمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الْمَدِينَةَ فَوَجَدَ الْيَهُودِ يَسُومُونَ يَوْمَ عَاشُورَ. When he came to Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara, there were those people who claimed to be followers and lovers of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam see? He witnessed and he saw that they would be fasting on Ashura, the 10th of Muharram. They would be fasting on the 10th of Muharram. فَسُئِلُوا عَنْ ذَلِكَ. And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, somebody from the Muslims, they asked them about that. Those people were asked about this. فَقَالُوا, and they said, هَذَا الْيَوْمُ الَّذِي أَذْهَرُ اللَّهُ فِيهِ مُوسَى. This is that day in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam victory. وَبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ, also that of the Banu Israel, عَلَى فِرْعُونَ, upon or against Fir'aun. فَنَحْنُ نَصُومُهُ تَعْظِيمًا لَهُ. And so we fast on this day out of respect and honor for this day, because this day is that day in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and the Banu Israel from Fir'aun. فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ نَحْنُ أَوْلَى. Other narrations mention أَحَقُّ, that we have more of a right. We are closer to who? Be Musa minkum. We are closer to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. We have more of a right over Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu salam even than you. And so the Muslims would also fast on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَأَمَرَ بِصَوْمِهِ, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he ordered them to also fast, ordered the Muslims to fast on the day of Ashura. And this shows us that what? There were many similarities. So they would also fast, yes, on the day of Ashura. Muslims also fast on the day of Ashura. And from this we also in fact learn that we can single out a particular day. So if we were to single out the day of the Mawlid, the 12th of Rabi'ul Awwal, and to fast on that day, as did the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he fasted on a Monday to celebrate his birthday. There's no harm in singling out a particular day for specific worship. Yes, for specific worship, as was the act which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he loved and also adopted and also ordered for others to do so, i.e. fasting on the day of Ashura. Subhanallah, beautiful lesson to take from that. Nevertheless, moving on the seerah, another very, very important event, and this is the chapter of Mu'akhat, brotherhood. Some of the scholars have stated that this act of establishing a brotherhood, that this had actually occurred twice. Once was whilst before the migration itself, whilst the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslims were in Makkah al-Mukarramah, amongst the people, the Muslims of Makkah al-Mukarramah themselves. Yes, so it's stated between Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radhiyallahu anhu, that Sayyidina Hamza radhiyallahu anhu was made the brother of Sayyidina Zayd radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And similar like this, others were also made. And there's a famous, Sayyidina Talha and Sayyidina Zubayr radhiyallahu anhu, Sayyidina Uthman radhiyallahu anhu, Sayyidina Abdurrahman ibn Auf radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and various other companions radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Now, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he would do this, build this brotherhood. In fact, it's stated that once Sayyidina Ali, karamallahu wajhahu al-kareem, he approached the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, akhaytsa bayna ashabik. Ya Rasulullah, you have made the ties of brotherhood between your companions. And then he says, فَمَنْ أَخِيهِ He says, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ Who is my brother? And the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he gave him the possibly the best of, you know, replies. You know, just imagine what he would have been imagining and thinking at the time. He got no doubt better than anything he could have imagined. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم says, أَنَا أَخُوكَ He says, you know, I am your brother. Another narration mentions the Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu ta'alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. He says to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, أَمَا تَرْضَى أَنْ أَكُونَ أَخَاكَ Are you not pleased that I am your brother? قَالَ بَلَى He says, of course. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states, أَنْتَ أَخِي فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ He says, you are my brother in this world as well as in the Akhirah. So this, firstly, it occurred in Makkah al-Mukarramah. And of course, there were reasons, yes, why this would occur, because many people, they were new to Islam. They required some sort of protection. Yes, they required help. So for example, Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu anhu was with Sayyidina Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu anhu, who used to be a slave. He was a freed slave. Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu anhu was known for his strength. Yes, he's Asadullah, he's a lion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Zayd radiallahu anhu, not so famous for his strength. Yes, so for one to help another. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu. You know, wallahu alam has to remember, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been granted knowledge of the unseen. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a person of utmost and extraordinary wisdom, granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So of course he had his reasons as to why choosing one person and another. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. So yes, this happened before. However, it's stated about 5 months later. Some say 7 months, some say 8 months. But a little time after entering in Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, again he established brotherhood, but this time in between the Muhajirun and the Ansar. Who were the Muhajirun? Who were the Ansar? The Muhajirun are those who migrated. Yes, whether it's come back from Abyssinia, some did, or whether it's ultimately from Makkah Al-Mukarramah, they came towards Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. So they were known as Muhajirun, the migrants, those people who immigrated, they migrated. And there was also between the Ansar. Ansar are the helpers, meaning those who welcome them and help them. Yes, those who welcome them and they help them. And so this time, the brotherhood was not in between themselves, where you keep the Muhajir. Yeah, subhanAllah, there are many, you know, blessings within this. Of course, this is the brilliance of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because remember, when you get a new group of people coming, then there could be groups, people making their own groups. It's normal, isn't it? It's normal. People who are similar, yes, they come together. Similar people come together. And sometimes it could be, you know, it could stir and ignite maybe differences and hatred if something was to be some sort of occurrence between them. But right from the beginning, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he didn't allow for it right from the beginning. This is the brilliance, the foresight of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How beautiful is that? That what did he do? He immediately mixed. You see, they're strangers to each other. He didn't say, okay then, Ansar, some of you leave your home because you're closer to each other, you live together, and you know, we'll take half of the homes and this will keep for the Muhajirun. No. But you remain within your own homes and we will have brotherhood. Yes? Where, if you wish, they could come live with you or however it may be. And this is exactly what happened. And you know, they made brotherhood, they made partners to an extent, between from somebody from Makkah al-Mukarramah and somebody who is a resident of Al-Madinah al-Munawwara, the Ansar, the Muhajirun and the Ansar. So then, you see, by living together, you get to know each other. It builds that trust, it's a mutual trust and respect for one another. And when you're living together, you become closer and, you know, you develop, that respect and that familiarity with the person that you are staying with, and you know, you become friends, etc. So that's honestly, it's absolutely phenomenal, because it serves two purposes, or maybe more, you know, according to the wisdom of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But you know, well, one thing is that, you know, it, yeah, there's not that separation. Yeah, it brings them close. There's a familiarity which is developed, as well as this, the loneliness which the companions having left, the Muhajirun having left Makkah al-Mukarrama, the loneliness that they would feel, you know, the homesickness that they would feel. They would be given that compassion and they would be made to feel like home in another place. And of course, this has a huge impact, a huge effect on a person. So there you go, that's another blessing of this. At the same time, they would be supported, whether that's financially, whether that's, as we mentioned, even psychologically, you know, emotionally. And subhanAllah, some went to the extent, Allahu Akbar, and this is so beautiful, it stated that there was one individual by the name of Sa'd ibn Rabi' radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam, he linked him with Sayyidina Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was from the Ashara Mubashara. And he stated that what did this person do? Not only did he invite him into his home, but he said that, I have two wives. Look, is this wife, is this wife. Remember, at this time, the order of the veiling was not given. And he said, look, I have one wife, I have a second wife. Whichever one you choose, I will divorce and you can marry her. Allahu Akbar, speaking about hospitality, about kindness, about compassion. This is what they were willing to do for the Muslims. And that's why no doubt they were given this title of Ansar, the helpers. Subhanallah. It stated there were about 90, some of the scholars state there were 90 of them also. So that's 45 from Makkah al-Mukarramah being partnered with 45 from al-Madinah al-Munawwarah. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala alam. And initially they would also gain inheritance from one another, until this was later nullified by the verse of the Quran. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he taught us how brothers should be amongst each other. Subhanallah. So quickly and swiftly moving on, the next chapter within the seerah of the beloved Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is that, and the scholars mentioned that this was in the second year of the Hijrah. So wallahu alam. So now this is where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually emphasizing changing things, and for things to be different in comparison to other religions, many of the practices, etc. So it's stated in Sahih Bukhari, in Sahih Muslim, is mentioned by Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radhiallahu anhu, who says that this is the topic of the adhan. Yes, how the adhan came about. There was initially what used to happen, as mentioned in Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim. كان المسلمون لما قدموا المدينة يجتمعون فيتحينون الصلاة ليس ينادى لها. That initially what the Muslims used to do was they would just come towards the masjid and they would wait for salah to begin. There was no such thing as adhan. So they would just come to the masjid and they would wait and they would see. And then one day they began to speak about this. You know, they thought, yes, we do need something. We do need some sort of call. However, one day it's stated that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he says to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, أَوَلَا تَبَعَثُونَ رَجُلًا مِنْكُمْ يُنَادِي بِالصَّلَاةِ. That, you know, will somebody not go call and call people to salah, call people to prayer? And Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, يَا بِلَال قُمْ فَنَادِي بِالصَّلَاةِ. That, oh Bilal, you go and you call people towards salah. And how would Sayyidina Bilal, and Sayyidina Bilal from the beginning, Sayyidina Bilal, he was given this duty of calling people to salah. How is it that he would call them? It stated that he would say, بقوله, he would say, As-salatu jami'a. He would say, you know, that the prayer is commencing. Yes, the prayer, come towards the prayer, it's prayer time. Yes, come towards a prayer, gather, the prayer is gathering, people are coming together. And then it's mentioned that, you know, they thought, no, we need another way, we need a proper way to call people rather than going around and saying, As-salatu jami'ah. And he said that they had a meeting. And one person, he says, لو اتخذنا ناقوس, that, you know, Ya Rasulallah, what if we were to have a bell? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, ذَلَكَ لِلنَّصَارَى, that's for the Christians. You know, the Christians, they have their bell. And it said that, وَقَالَ آخَرُونَ, others said, بُوق, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, a بُوق, كَبُوقِ الْيَهُودِ. A بُوق is actually a trumpet. Many of you know what a trumpet is. Yes? And they say, like a horn, That's how it would be made in that day and age. Wallahu alam. And nowadays people make these instruments in, you know, other ways. So this is what one person said, and the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no. ذَاكَ لِلْيَهُودِ. This is for the Yahud. And, you know, one person said, why don't we light a fire and raise a fire? And the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, ذَاكَ لِلْمُجُوسِ. No, we're not going to do that, because that's what the Magians do. So we can't do that. No, the Magians are doing that. We're not going to copy them in their act. You know, that by lighting a fire, people will see this huge fire and then they'll come towards us. No, we're not going to do that. You see, imagine we were to do that. How would that happen in this day and age? So we were given something which is so beautiful, is better than all the rest. Allahu Akbar, the call to prayer. SubhanAllah, so beautiful. Nevertheless, then how exactly, or who came up with the adhan? Did somebody say, oh, let's have the adhan? No. It stated there was a person by the name of Abdullah ibn Zayd ibn Tha'laba radiallahu ta'ala anhu. They say that Abdullah ibn Zayd, the scholars have spoken about him as to how many ahadiths are narrated by him, and you know, this is one, the one and only sahih hadith on adhan, showing the significance of the adhan and giving other reasons, differences of opinion, etc., that he passed away possibly at the Battle of Uhud, or he passed away later during the time of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, no doubt a great companion of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. They say that he passed away in the year 32 Hijrah, and this is according to the most famous opinion. And his funeral was led by Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. Nevertheless, this same Abdullah ibn Zayd, you should remember this name, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu, we do not have much time, but he basically saw a dream in which he saw a person wearing two pieces of cloth, and he was wearing green pieces of cloth. And he had some sort of bell in his hand, and in his dream, he approaches that person and he asks him for the bell, and that person asks, you know, what do you want to do with this bell? And he says, I wish to use it for the adhan. He was just thinking about the adhan before he's going to sleep. He says, I wish to use it for the adhan. And then he says, should I not show you something which is better? And he turns and faces towards the Qibla and he says, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, the entire adhan. And then he wakes up in the morning and he rushes towards the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and says, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I've had this dream. And he's so excited and saying, oh, I've had the dream, maybe I could call it out. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, tell this dream to Bilal. Bilal will call it out, inshallah. Why? For huwa anda mink. Why? Because his sound, or soul to who, his sound is more melodious than yours. It is louder, it is more melodious, it sounds better, etc. Meaning, the best person for the job should do the job. Yes, so he gives this to Sayyidina Bilal radhiallahu anhu. When Sayyidina, he teaches a word to Sayyidina Bilal, and then Sayyidina Bilal radhiallahu anhu repeats. And then Sayyidina Umar radhiallahu anhu is hearing the adhan, and he's bringing his clothes and he's rushing out, and you know, he's saying that, Ya Rasulullah, no doubt this is the truth, because I saw the exact same dream. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Zayd radhiallahu ta'ala anhu. Because time has run out, I wish to share with you just one thing, inshallah azza wa jal. And this is what some of the scholars have stated. That why was Sayyidina Bilal radhiallahu anhu chosen? One of the reasons they've given, and they state that annahu lamma udhiba, that when he was tortured, yes, and he was persecuted, liyarji'a anil Islam, when they were torturing him and they were asking him to leave Islam, leave the religion of Islam, kana yaqul ahad ahad, he would say, no, ahad, Allah Ta'ala is one. Allah Ta'ala is one. فَجُوزِيَ بِوَلَايَةِ الْعَذَانِ. And so he was rewarded with being the first mu'adhin of Islam, the one to call out the adhan, which begins with the oneness of Allah Ta'ala, with the greatness of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, with the glorification of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and ends with it too. And that from all of the companions, who is given this? Sayyidina Bilal, who is also a slave. This is something to remember. Join us more next time for more of In the Footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Guided by his example, we walk the righteous path. In the footsteps of the Prophet with faith and steadfast. In the footsteps of the Prophet with faith and steadfast.